All right, so here we are, Larry Bailey, Awesome Technologies. We're going to go through the part two of the Encompass update for 24.1. This is all about the fixed issues, and I wanted to break this out into a separate one because there was a lot in part one, and I didn't want you to die. So we made it into two parts. Here's the second part. We're going to go through all of the things that are being updated. And as you can see, there are plenty. So let's go ahead and get down into there. It's even moving really, really, really slow. That's how slow it's moving. Goodness, what is going on? Let's try this. There we go. So these issues were fixed to improve usability. The big thing is for these fixed issues, the thing that you want to pay attention to here is that if you created workarounds, you're going to want to kind of go back, right? So the transaction detail section header now displays correctly. That's here. I guess there was a problem with that before. I don't know about that. Update to trigger recalc for first-time home buyer field. So this was a problem when you had borrower swapping, basically. So by default, there was a problem. Now that's been resolved because we've separated out both borrower first time or borrower co-borrower first time. So now that updates properly because naturally, if any of the borrowers are first time home buyers, the whole file is first time home buyer, in case you didn't know that. We got to fix the update for seller obligated discount points. This is an interesting one I really want to talk about because seller obligation versus seller credit can be a big deal in your 2015 itemization. So just make sure the one takeaway from here is make sure, please, that if you're using seller, if the seller's paying for anything, open up the pop-out and make sure that the seller obligated or this is checked if appropriate. So this goes into, the discount points and those kinds of things. You can read through it to see what your decision is on this, but that's what that's all about. Seller obligated versus seller credit. It's a really big deal and it's something to pay attention to as an admin as well as in workflow. All right, the next fix is update the calculate by the pay by field on 801. So there's an issue where that was fixed with regards to the 801 dropdown field on the pay by. Interestingly, on this, the paid by doesn't behave the same in the 2010 itemization as it does in the 2015. So if you're using a HELOC and you're still using the 2010 itemization, I get it. So this is specifically about the 2015 itemization. Don't let that confuse you. Next fix is monthly debt allowed calculation updated for co-mortgagors. So remember, co-mortgagor is going to be somebody who's listed as such, but basically, you want to make sure that if you're doing a additional people on the file and there's a distinction between a co-borrower, make sure that you understand how that income is following over and this workaround is no longer required. So if you've got additional 1003s on the file, that's what this is addressing. Okay, let's go to the next page, 68. New HUD, no longer, so these fields are no longer cleared when the loan is locked and confirmed or lock extended. So there's just a bug out there where these two fields are getting up or getting wiped. So that's been fixed. Co-borrowers can now select and intend to proceed independently of primary borrower. That's an interesting change. I didn't even know you could do that and why it matters. I guess you're just calling out who's selected. To intend to proceed. So that information is now updated properly. There's an update for business rules used for populating HMDA. So if you let's see, Encompass being used for relevant calculations. It looks like there was just some updates for the HMDA. It looks like that had an issue. It's been fixed. HOIPA status now indicates it's not applicable for second homes and investment properties. That's nice. That's nice. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Closing cost financed value now updating as expected. So when the actual down payment closing cost finance checkbox was selected in the loan, all right, so a little bit of a bug in there in the internal calc. Government agency option added a carousel type for the ULDD. So we've got type E in there now, it looks like. So that's good. Thank you very much, ICE. All right, it's good. Page 70. By the way, there's the example of the change for E. That's a small credit tutorial slash government agency in the ULDD. All right, next break fix is update to address issues with CLTV, HCLTV calculations in loans with additional HELOC. So this goes into oh, Adobe was doing an update. Great. I'm sure it's going to crash my Encompass. So don't do updates to Adobe while you have your Encompasses open is an old Encompass conversation. So when you go through, see if I can get my screen back here. Oh, it crashed altogether. All right, so here we're going to continue with the update to address issues with CLTV and additional loan HELOC. So we talked about this kind of in the updates with regards to before making sure that you understand how the VOAL is updating. So there were some issues with that. That's been addressed. If you had any simultaneous closings where you had just doing a second with the first resubordinate, or excuse me. Where you're doing a second where the first is staying intact, not resupporting, obviously. This is all about using the full draw. So read these notes, make sure you understand what's going on. This is making sure that the AUS is working properly with the file the way it's structured when you have a HELOC in there. This also falls into updating the funding worksheet. So what was happening basically was if the draw was 100, excuse me, if the line was 100,000, but the draw is only 20 grand. You don't want 100,000 going to your funding worksheet. You want the 20 grand going to your funding worksheet. So that's been resolved. Thank you very much. Borrower paid fee value on itemization line 24 now populating properly. So there was an issue in here with the line 1204 transfer tax. So that's been updated if you had any problems with that. Update on how the LTVs are calculated for construction loans. So if you're doing construction loans and you were having to do a bunch of workarounds, this is important for constructions where the lot's owned free and clear. So that's pretty welcome for those that are doing CTP loans or construction loans. That'll go well in there. And specifically in the construction management where the lot status is owned free and clear. Next update is update, excuse me, next fix is update to the calculation for earliest month that the maximum possible payment adjustment can occur on those construction loans less than 24 months. So again, if you're doing construction loans, definitely pay attention to this fix. We're on page 74. Make sure you get this lined up. Next fix is for the VA 2016-20 loan disbursement form now provides correct purpose of loan dropdown. There was a fix in there for the drop down. This has now been resolved and the VA loan purpose. So if you had some problems before or you were running like field data entry rules and they weren't working properly, hopefully now they will after this fix. Next one is general QM price limit exceeded alert now is based on the general qualified mortgage status. So this is going off of this column. There was an issue where the alert was still being triggered even when the loan met price limit requirements. That's been resolved in this release. Also, there's the default message has been updated to read the terms of the loan do not meet versus the pricing exceeds. So a little bit of an update there. Next fix is for FHA loans. FHA loans indicated as exempt on the ATRQM now recognized as exempt by Encompass Compliance Service, also known as MAVENT, in the ATRQM review. So basically, as a reminder, MAVENT and Encompass are two separate engines. It's on purpose, right? You want checks and balances. So if Encompass shows one thing and MAVENT shows another, or ECS shows another, you want them to conflict when it's correct, but you don't want them to conflict when they're actually shouldn't be conflicting. So this addresses a false fail. When it shows exempt in the file, it'll now show exempt in ECS for ATRQM review. All right, next one is updates to address issues with the VOAL piggyback loans. This kind of goes back to some CLTV issues on those linked loans. Update issue with regards to subordinate liens. Again, There was a first lien piggyback was updated. So you'll see that, read this, we're on page 79 now. So again, if you're dealing so a lot of recurring themes in here on this fixed issues are related to CLTVs and HCLTV calculations, as well as subordinate liens and how they're showing up. So this is just another break fix to address that. Transmittal summary for co-borrower income fields now updated as expected when switching from borrower to co-borrower on the VOE input form. So there's an issue where you went to your VOE input form and you switched out who the employment was for, where that income would show one way on the VOE, but then it wouldn't carry over to the 1008 transmittal. So that's been resolved. E-consent not yet received alert now triggered as expected when exiting the loan prior to saving changes. So there's some exit loan logic that's been updated. If you had that issue, that'll be addressed. That's in page 80. Bunch of things here on page 81. Application error triggered by AUS tracking tool addressed. So there were some team members that were getting an erroneous error. That's hopefully been resolved. Remaining buy down amount field now cleared when buy down information removed. So that's good. If you were doing a buy down, now you're not. So that's addressed here in this last sentence. Secondary registration log data for loan no longer intermittently cleared. Thank you for that. That's just a back end fix. Prepay penalty field on secondary lock tool snapshot now populating. Well, that's good. Prepays are back, by the way. If you're not doing any, if you're not involved in non-QM loans, you don't even know this. But if you're doing non-QM loans, you absolutely have prepays in there. So updates for that, and then updates for the North Carolina compliance report. So if you're doing business in North Carolina, God bless. You've got an update to the North Carolina compliance report that hopefully will address some open issues on that report and help the North Carolina Office of Commissioner get the right information that they're looking for. And here are some updates to the electronic document management, also known as EDM. Special call out as a reminder, this is one of the things that I always say is one of the most forgotten settings when you provision a new account. If they need access to the E folder, make sure you give them a little checkbox in additional service settings to access EDM. All right, so the first one is green message to indicate requested documents have been returned. Now present on alerts messages. So when a third-party company uploads a requested document to Loan Connect, which is where it usually comes from, or Encompass Consumer Connect, you usually wouldn't have a third party going to Encompass Consumer Connect, but that's a different question. A green message now added to the alerts messages tab. So I want to remind you here that if you have multiple folders selected, you won't see alerts, but you will see messages. Regardless of how many folders you have selected. Why there's a distinction, I still don't personally know. But make sure you've got messages as a column on your pipeline views. Otherwise, this is irrelevant. Issue with downloading documents retrieved from Loan Connect resolved. So apparently there was some kind of issue that's now been resolved from Loan Connect. Loan Connect is, by the way, who you typically expect your third parties to manage through when you're both sending as well as receiving documents in a secure way through the ICE Mortgage Technology Network that you're paying for. Next one is manage notification recipients link return to request e-consent screen. Okay, so you can manage notification. This apparently was removed. It's now back. The issue was introduced in 23.2. So it's now been resolved and a link is there to help you know how to manage notification recipients on the request for the e-consent. We're now on page 83. So we've got an e-folder status column now populated when documents are sent from e-folder's request. E-folder status column now populated. Oh, so if you make a request, actually it marks it as requested. Okay, thank you. And here it's showing you that, right? Okay, cool. What is this next one? We're on informational documents 20. We're on page 85. What did I miss the sentence on informational? Oh, in addition, users also reported that after regenerating, informational documents were not being saved to their associated Document container in the file manager's document list are being saved unassigned. This issue has been resolved. Gotcha. So if you had informational documents kind of hanging up here in the unassigned, they're now going in their appropriate e-folder document, as you would expect. There you go. All right, we're on page 86, 10 pages left. We're almost there. Files moved to documents list as expected after they're auto-assigned. So it looks like there was just some mapping issues on the QR codes that got resolved. If you had any files hanging out here in the unassigned after you click the auto-assign button, that's going to be hopefully completely resolved in 24.1. Reports. Everybody uses reports, right? So on reports, update the Encompass loan folder search query when non-administrator users run reports. It's a multiple folder. So when multiple folders are selected and the system checks to ensure the user has required permission to access the folder. So now the system checks to ensure the user has access to the selected folder before proceeding. Okay, thank you for fixing that. Trade management, for those that use trades, there was an investor status field now updated when loan allocated to loan trade. That's nice. That means that's working as expected. A couple more things in trade management. Trade update queue no longer creates two batch jobs for one bid tape file with 50 plus loans. Thank you. And then loan now successfully updated in loan trade, which again, that would be cool. Issue's been resolved. If you got this message error, it says loan length cannot be less than zero. So that's been resolved. All right, we get into break fixes or fixed issues, I should say, for Encompass settings. So in the persona access to fields business rules now applied consistently to the AMI percentage fields. Didn't know that you had any problem with that. So that's, if you did have problems with that, if you wrote persona access to fields business rules, it'll now behave as you would expect them to. And those were the Mornet.x30, field 4971 and field 4972. So that'll be resolved in 24.1 release. Additionally, releases value indicated in closing cost templates now included in recording fees as expected. So it looks like there was a 2015 issue. Read through this. This is on page 88. If you had any issues with closing cost templates, something to do with recording fees, I just got you covered with this fix. And there's a screenshot of it in the top of page 89. There's an update to the funding template setting for seller paid fees. Seller paid fees, I'll tell you. Just be, again, if something's being paid by the seller, make sure it's carrying over both seller creditor, seller obligated, and then make sure it's carrying over to the funding worksheet as expected. Looks like there was an issue with that, and you'll want to address it. We're going down to page 90 now. So editing the team's loan checkbox, only now selected TPO contact details. So basically if you, the issue occurred where the view access to a team's loans and edit team's loans checkboxes were selected on a contact TPO detail screen. So basically we're, if you're doing TPO and you had some issues when you, created a company via a CSV file, that issue has been resolved. Column search filters for configurable. Again, this is TPO specific. You're only using configurable workflow if you have TPO Connect running. If you don't have TPO Connect running, don't worry about this. If you do, and you were having an issue with configurable workflow templates, this is on page 90. That issue for search has been resolved. Update to data template setting for custom audit fields. So if you had a data template where you were using a custom auto field to set up track changes to fields, wow, that's wild. So there was a there was an Encompass system logic. Like I'd never done this part. Oh, I know what it's saying. So basically a custom audit field means custom field set up as an audit of another field. I guess it's a custom audit field. It's a weird way to say it to me. Maybe it makes sense to somebody else, but basically if you created a custom field that was an audit of another field, you know, there was a problem in the data template. So that's been resolved in this release. Update to address an issue with using title in the name of enhanced conditions. So if you're using enhanced conditions and you were creating or editing, an issue occurred where an error message was triggered when the administrator clicked save if the word title was included in the name field. The issue only occurred with capital T title, not lowercase t title. So basically, that's been resolved. If you had that problem, you can go back and call your name of your enhanced condition, whatever you want, apparently. And that's just giving you another example screenshot. So we're on page 92. Update to address an issue with the field trigger business rule and impounds field. So if you try to use a field trigger to execute a custom action for field like 2837, the field was not calculating correctly. That issue's been resolved. We're on page 93. There was an issue with duplicate fields for NMLS and North Carolina data reports in the reporting database that addressed. I didn't think you could actually do duplicates. Usually it would tell you, oh, you know what? All right, so here's what this actually was pretty annoying. So if you go into Encompass and reporting database and you go to add in these fields like North Carolina or NMLS, and those fields already exist, you get this when you go to save, you get this duplicate message, and then you got to go remove them. That's what this is talking about. If you've never had the pleasure, lucky you, I've had this pleasure plenty of times. So they've created logic to not let that happen, which is super nice. Thank you, ICE. Next update for this is also in the reporting database. You've got update to redisclosure closing disclosure. This is for a non-borrowing owner updated. So there was an issue with the I don't know, document dates. Looks like there were apostrophes in there somewhere. I'm not quite sure what the screenshot's meant to show, but in the event, if you did have redisclosures, especially with the CD, and you've got a non-borrowing owner, contact in the file contacts tool, the alert's going to be updated to make sure you're alerted. And it looks like the very last thing is on the API side, there was an updated date time field returned to external users. So basically, there was no longer available, and that issue is resolved. And that updated date time field is now available again to the Encompass API. It looks like there was a log change here on Feb 13, so yesterday. And there was, so I always say go to the end, right? So when I went to this yesterday, when I started this, there were no change logs. At some point, as I'm recording this now on Feb 14, there was an update, and the following entries have been updated as follows. Yeah, I highlights that in there. And this is talking about the archive thing that we went through, the new form version thing we went through for the 4506C, and the Compass eClose is now enabled. So those entries were updated. Guys, my name is Larry Bailey. I go through all of these walkthroughs every time a major comes out, sometimes even when minors come out if they're important. Thanks very much for listening. I know it's a lot. I know everybody typically dislikes reading, mostly because you're reading something, you're like, what the heck does that mean? That's the reason why I do these walkthroughs, and I hope they're valuable. And if there's anything ever I can do to help you, either hit me up on mortgage.community, or you can always send me an email to larry@atihelps.com. If you don't already know my other email addresses or other phone numbers, you can hit me up there, as well as direct message me through the community or LinkedIn, whatever. It's all good. You guys be good out there. Thanks. And we will see you on the updates into production, into testing on March 9th, and then to April 6th for production as of right now, at least. All right, guys. See you now. Bye-bye.